Well, Dr. Matarori Linden is a senior lecturer at medical education at the University of Auckland and is a practicing clinician and an advocate for Māori health and cultural safety in healthcare, emphasising that removing cultural requirements from healthcare regulation would be irresponsible, inequitable and dangerous. Thanks for joining us on the program. Once again, Matarori, tēnā koe, ngā mihi. Thanks for joining us again, mate. All the best. Well, looks as somebody who's got a lot of skin in the game, Matarori, can you elaborate, please, on why cultural safety is integral to clinical safety in healthcare?
I total that, because what's happened this week, Dale, is that the Ministry of Health has been consulting on removing cultural requirements like cultural competence and cultural safety from health workforce regulation. And we all know how important this is in terms of cultural competence and cultural safety for whānau Māori, for improving health outcomes and for good quality care. And so by having this consultation, I'm strongly opposed to any removal of cultural requirements, both as a clinician and academic, and so is the Iwi Māori Partnership Board, Te Tira 2, which I'm a member of.
What are the potential consequences of removing cultural requirements from healthcare regulation for tangata whenua and other, well, let's say, marginalised communities?
You're right there, Dale. It's both important for tangata whenua, but when we also think about our whānau hoa, those with disabilities, our Rainbow Takatāpui community and whānau as well, cultural safety is important to improve health equity, because we know that when patients don't feel safe in terms of feeling culturally unsafe, they may avoid care. They may not feel comfortable to share crucial health information with their clinicians, or they may disengage from treatment altogether. And so that can lead to poorer quality of care or actually patient harm as well.
Matarori, how do you envision the future of healthcare regulation in this country if those cultural requirements are maintained?
Oh, they definitely have to be maintained and actually strengthened. It's been decades of work of cultural safety within the health professions, led by the likes of Iti Hapiti Ramsden in nursing, Paparangi Reid, and others. And so we need to actually go further. These cultural safety training plans are all being implemented across the medical specialties, for example. And it actually undermines Te Tiriti o Waitangi principles in healthcare Y2575 to provide culturally appropriate care. It undermines our own Te Tira 2 board work, where whānau voices told us the importance of cultural safety in receiving care. It's in the government's Te Pai Tata New Zealand Health Plan as a priority, and it's actually in the Pai Ora legislation for the health sector as well, about culturally safe and culturally responsive care to meet whānau needs. So it's actually at a policy level already. We know how important it is for good quality patient care, and we need to keep building and taking forward the decades of hard work that's been establishing cultural competency and cultural safety. Now, we know most health professionals aren't Māori, so it's even more important for cultural competency, which is about clinicians having the knowledge, skills and attitudes to work effectively and respectfully with patients, whereas cultural safety takes it even further. It's about addressing racism and bias that clinicians may have. It's about empowering our patients in terms of their healthcare, and it's also about committing to addressing the inequities that we all know exist within our health system as well. And so any suggestion to unwind or remove these cultural requirements is extremely concerning to many clinicians, and definitely in terms of our Iwi Māori Partnership Board, and may be a breach of Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the Pai Ora Healthy Futures Act as well.
Yeah, it throws into play a lot of different issues. As patients of the New Zealand health system, of which we all are, we would have a right to assume that there is a high level of cultural competency with the health workforce that are attending us. So that goes without saying. But in a political climate where Māori kaupapa and the ways forward are constantly being diminished, ensuring that legislatively we have that cultural competency protection isn't as straightforward as what we might think, Nen.
Well, it's been framed by the ministry about putting patients first, and it's been suggested that cultural requirements are separate from clinical safety. When we know to be clinically safe, you also need to be culturally safe. And so that's why the submissions have gone in. Our Iwi Māori Partnership Board have put in a submission. Many health professionals have put in a submission, and I'm not aware of any clinicians or health regulatory bodies who have been asking for removal. In fact, we've been trying to double down and implement more cultural safety into health workforce professions and regulations and training, both in terms of academia, in terms of medical schools, and in terms of specialty training as well. So it's been a strong message back to the ministry to not remove cultural requirements at all.
Well, it's been a good conversation. I appreciate you joining us and would welcome more discussions down this lane, Matarorea. Two quick responses, if you'd be kind enough. The first is on the doctors' industrial action yesterday. 5,000 were affected by the Association of Medical Specialists. He aho whakaro, Matarorea. What did you think of that?
I'm not a part of the union or a hospital doctor, but it's important in terms of making sure that there's adequate staffing, adequate working conditions, because ultimately that would benefit patient care. We know the strain and the pressures within the health system, and especially on the health workforce, and the importance of having those conditions for doctors, but also for other health professional groups as well, thinking about our nahi, our nurses. And so it's important that these issues are addressed, that they get to the negotiating table to be able to resolve this, so that that way there aren't further strikes and there aren't further delays to patient care.
Tēnā koe, Ewa. And just finally, you've been a strong advocate for telehealth, and it does seem to be an appropriate way to consider going forward, especially for our rural communities. Many of them are heavily populated by our people. What's a bit of an update from the telehealth perspective, Matarorea?
Pai tō pātai. Telehealth is definitely an important option to be able to access care. There's been both research and reports showing, especially whānau Māori, rural, and other patients who might have limited access, it gives them more options around accessing care through telehealth. And so it's starting to increase across the country. And so that's important, alongside options for in-person care, acknowledging there will need to be physical exams and the importance of immunisation and screening. So it complements and goes hand in hand with in-person care as well.
Good talking with you again. And thanks for joining us on the program, Matarorea. All the best to you and the whānau. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi nui kia koutou, kia ora tēo.
Tēnā koe, Matarorea Linden, joining a senior lecturer in medical education at the University of Auckland.